These are a pain in the neck. In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church, I welcome you. My name is Andy Burr, and I'm the interim pastor. I'm proud to be serving this church, First Congregational Church of Natick, which is an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, welcoming those that are members of the LGBTQIA community into the full life and ministry of the church. I'd like you to remember that no matter who you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. It wouldn't be church without a bunch of announcements. Here we go. Would the people who have gone or are planning to go someday to the West Virginia Work Camp please stand? Welcome to all of you, and thank you for the ministry on behalf of this church. Soon we will be lighting the Christ candle. So I invite those who are joining us virtually to get a candle so that you may join us in that ritual. Please send prayer requests this morning that will be included in our prayer time to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. They could come to my cell phone as a text message. My number is 978-790-8250, or you could write your prayer request on a piece of paper and place it, let the usher know, and the usher will make sure that I get it. We will be having a coffee hour or a social time downstairs in the vestry following worship. I hope you all can join us. I don't know that there is a post-worship Zoom call, because I should have mentioned this. Sarah Lynn is sick today. She's been having terrible nasal stuff and runny, all of that. And she's feeling terribly. I spoke with her. Her voice is terrible. She wants people to know that she has had a COVID test. She just took one. It's not that. So it's just allergies and runny nose, which will prevent her from starting the Zoom call. Please, I would love to speak with you individually or as a group in ways that I haven't been able to so far. There's my contact information. Please email me or call me anytime you'd like, or text me anytime you like, and we can find a time to chat. The church is looking for a permanent church office administrator. It's a 25-hour a week job with some shorter hours in the summer. If you know anybody, and I'm sure you do, if you know people in your network, please have them get their resumes to me or have them contact me. One sec, wait, you stay where you are, little mister. Friday, the Supreme Court, it was a travesty, an absolute travesty for all people, for women particularly, and particularly women who don't have financial means, and women of color. If you would like to chat about that after worship, in the context of your faith, not partisan politics, but in the context of your faith, I will be out in front of the church in the shade. Please join me if you would like. Now you may.
Good morning, church. Good morning. I'm Lane McDonough with the outreach team, and thank you, Gail. We're announcing a new partnership that we're having with the Common Street Spiritual Center across the common. They, for the last year now, I don't know if you noticed, they have a little mini pantry. And the idea of this is not for, you know, supplement or to replace a place to turn or the Natick Service Council. This is for emergency needs. This is if, you know, a parent comes home at night and they don't have anything to make for dinner, they can run out there and get like a mac and cheese or, you know, chili or, you know, beef stew or whatever. So the idea is that they want, you know, meals that, you know, are ready to eat. For instance, we're asking people to bring this, a couple weeks, is like canned meat. Spam is okay too, okay? Spam is meat. But they don't want is stuff like, you know, green beans or whatever that can't be used as a meal, right? Especially beets, okay? No one likes beets, all right? Do not bring beets, all right? The only reason people get beets is because it's supposed to be good for you, all right? You pull it out and it's like you start that gag thing, all right? No beets. We want you know, mac and cheese, good stuff, you know, and tuna. Also, personal hygiene stuff, diapers, really is needed. So on the 17th, we're gonna have a little more organization here. We're gonna collect stuff. We're gonna walk it over after service on the 17th. And then they're also going to be running a food drive and fundraiser the last farmer's market of July, which I think is the 29th, whatever, over in the common. So we'll have a basket downstairs for people to bring stuff, or you can just drop it off in the mini pantry over there. Thank you. Thanks, Andy.
Does anybody else have any announcements? It's hard to tell who's raising their hand and who's just fanning. I'm assuming that, like me, many of you have those incandescent light bulbs at home. They get really hot, that kind of light. So this morning, I want you to think about the light of Christ as those nice LED bulbs that are nice and cool and don't generate all that heat, but they light nonetheless. So we light the Christ candle this morning to remind us that Jesus Christ, as Jesus says in the Gospel of John, is the light of the world. As created beings by God, we too have that light within us, and we are called to bring that light beyond those doors into the community, to West Virginia, to Santa Maria Zeha, to anywhere we go. So now I will light the Christ candle, and I invite those at home to do so as well. That goes out, there's going to be some theological problems. Stacy?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in the responsive call to worship. Holy One, now moves upon us your summertime. Now are bird songs in the thickets. Now are secret ripenings in the fields. Glory be to you, O God, for daytimes and hay tastes. For sing-song boys and hopscotch girls. From meadow upon meadow, haze and green. Glory be to you, O God.
Amen.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Gracious and generous God, you are always puttering around our lives, tending to what is wearing out, mending what has broken, enlarging what no longer meets our needs. You expand the space between yes and no to make room for maybe. You make openings for forgiveness and beginnings again. Life is not a puzzle to be put together, where pieces go missing and the design eludes us. Life is an experiment where we learn by improvising from what we have instead of regretting what we don't. Things do not have to stay the same. We are free to choose what matters to us. We choose you. We choose to follow the one who walked more honestly into life than any other. We choose you because to serve you is perfect freedom. Amen.
The cares of this life weigh us down, and we seek escape more than insight, avoidance rather than confrontation with God's truth. God comes to us even when we are hiding from the best we know. God waits to hear our story and to restore us to life as it is meant to be. Let us come to God in prayer. O God, we confess that we have not always lived for you. You have invited us into new life, yet we have closed our eyes and ears and hearts against that invitation. You have shown us the way to love, yet we have chosen too often the path of uncaring. You've called us to the ministry of reconciliation, yet often we find ourselves tempted to turn away from others. You have challenged us to generosity, but many times we would rather keep to ourselves. Enter our lives, God, once again. Release us from the bonds of self-centeredness. Create in us a renewed openness to your love, that we may share your love with others. Amen. There is no greater joy in the heart of God than this moment now. For in this moment, we call upon God to grant us new life in the center of our wounded hearts. It is with great joy that God grants us new life with mercy and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven by grace. With great joy, we are made alive. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Friends, I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, whatever form you feel comfortable, reaching out your hands in a gesture of blessing, placing our hands over our hearts, or offering the word namaste, which conveys that the divine in me bows to the divine in you. So friends, the peace of Christ be with you. Let us share peace with one another.
Lane, once again, I want to say something before you go.
Well, I'm not doing anything. Oh, we're hanging back.
Oh, no, it's you guys instead of me.
There we go.
are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come. And all praise to Christ Jesus of his loving Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Last time, folks. And they'll know we are Christians by our love.
I hope you're becoming at least a little familiar with the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, "It's not that you ought to give and leave yourselves in hardship, but there should be a fair balance. Your surplus at present may fill their deficit, and at another time, their surplus may fill your deficit." Ooh, it's tempting to hear just the financial aspect about that, but there's much more. The West Virginia work campers go down to West Virginia and they fill what is perceived a deficit for those people. But just as importantly, the folks down in Cabell and Lincoln counties, just as importantly, if not more so, fill their deficits. It's a relationship of mutuality. It's not us going down to solve their problems. The same is true, of course, with Santa Maria Zeha. Jeff Clausen and Jenna Clausen are there right now with the whole delegation. They're bringing something to them and they're receiving in abundance. Remembering all of those lessons, let us receive the morning's offering. There are plates at each door. You may go to our website, firstchurchnatick.org, and donate through that. There was a third way. Mail it to the church. Let's receive the offering. Let's pray together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The earth is full of God's creation. We are filled with a good and wonderful life. May we rejoice in God's blessings and all good things. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, 1st chapter 6, verse 33. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And continuing in chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. And everyone who searches finds. For everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Here ends the reading for today.
That way I can be like Jerry Springer. So as you all know, the work camp this year was canceled for a third year in a row, and we found that out only at the beginning of June, and there was a lot of grief and sadness around that for those of us who haven't been since 2019, but we thought we'd still want to do a work camp service to share about our experiences of work camp, because it's meant a lot to those of us who have gone. This is just a fraction of the many people who have gone, to share a little bit about it and to keep it on your minds and hearts, so that you know that when we hopefully go back next year, which I think there's a hope that we will, that we'll continue to feel good about it, and we're just so grateful for all of your support in, you know, going since the 90s, when many of us have gone since the 90s. So I've got just a couple of questions for our group, since we have four distinguished panelists. So whoever feels called, this is kind of like you're kind of sitting in on a work camp meeting. We're telling newcomers about what the work camp is like, and so we thought I'd just throw out a softball for you, which is kind of an easy question, and we'll pass around the mic, and don't forget to hold it like an ice cream cone, because otherwise the camera's here as well. So the first question is, briefly, what brought you to work camp? But then, more importantly, what has kept you coming back? Because all of you have come back to work camp more than once. So who would like to answer that first question? What brought you to work camp first, and then what kept you going?
So I had a few family members go to work camp before I did, so I was, on the path to go anyway. But I made a lot of lifelong friends down there, and that's what brought me back, I think. I think only one of my friends from, our group down there was supposed to return this time, which stinks. But I was, thrilled to go down and see him and, help people out at the same time. But that's what kept me going, yeah.
What brought me to work camp was twofold. It was a sermon about Herbie the Ice Cube, getting out of your comfort zone. And I had spent so many years telling my kids they really should go to work camp. But what really put me over the edge were listening to the likes of Matt and Steve, primarily, because they were youngins when I first heard them talk about it. And that's sort of what got me there. My kids telling me to put my money where my mouth is. But what kept me coming back, two things really. One was that I had this overwhelming sense the very first year that I was there. And I saw all these different vehicles from all around the East Coast, from up here in Massachusetts to down in Florida. And there were these license plates with people buzzing around like ants. And I just never had such a palpable feeling of us being the hands and feet of God. Like, it just overwhelmed me. It hit me like a ton of bricks. Additionally, it was really gratifying to when you gather with a bunch of people who are from different faith traditions, but primarily all Christian,
You really run the gamut. You know, we're pretty liberal-minded here in Massachusetts, and I'm grateful for that, but there were people that we were worshiping with who were not always the same. And over the years, I witnessed some 180-degree revelations on things like LGBTQ plus rights, and that was a huge, huge thing for me. It just knowing that I could represent the face of somebody who is like that, but I'm not that crazy leftist, blah, blah, blah. You know, that I'm a real person, and all of it was good. All of it.
My first year was with Matt and the youth group, and Matt was 14, and we were sort of saying, everybody goes. Mary Gray said everybody ought to go, so we went, and we were leading the youth group, and it would have been sort of untoward if we didn't at least accompany them. So that was an obligatory thing, but in the ensuing almost 30 years, it was the kind of thing I couldn't stay away from. It was, you know, the logo is Love Works. And we went and we did the obvious. We made people's homes warm, safe, and dry. But the impact on the youth, the impact on us was just profound. What we brought back, as Andy said, you know, we ended up going not just to go, not just to give, but because we got so much back in return. Seeing God's work, seeing love working during the course of a week where you start each week typically in chaos, typically with somebody like me where I'm a lawyer, not a construction guy or a retired lawyer. And what do I know about building homes, repairing homes? And yet, there are people there. There is the spirit there that sort of helps you do the undoable, the unthinkable, and to come back and day after day and actually repair people's homes, but more importantly, repair their lives. We come down and we're volunteering our time. We're not being paid to do this. And this has a huge emotional impact on people who are sort of outcast, rejected, living up on the hollers. And to see that we are volunteering our time. We're not getting paid. We're volunteering our time to do this. And this has more of an impact than just fixing their homes. I think it helps our psyches, our feeling of self-worth. And we come back just ever so fulfilled. So I'm going to shut up and let Steve talk. I know.
First year I went, the only reason I went was to fulfill the commitment at Natick High School for community service. And it was easy for me in a way because I went down with four of my good friends, but it was also extremely hard for me because when I was younger, I like literally couldn't have a sleepover. Like my best friend's house, when I was like 10 or 11, I could see his house from my house. And my best friend's mom would have to like walk me home. Like I couldn't be away from home. I just couldn't do it. So the thought of going away for a week to sleep in some random place was extremely terrifying. But I obviously overcame that to go for 20 some odd years. And the main reason for me to keep going back is the reconnection to God. Because it's so easy in our daily lives here to not have that. But when you go down to West Virginia, everybody that comes there is there for the same reason. Like you come down with the same mindset of serving others through God, and it's just this spiritual just tidal wave that just then just wraps you in this big hug, and everybody is down there for the same reason. And what other people have mentioned, you give a bunch and you get obviously a huge amount back, but just the rejuvenating of your spirit every year to go down there is the main reason that I continue to go.
And I should have introduced ourselves first. I'm Matt, this is Eric, Jake, Stacy, and Steve, but you all know most of them. So my next question is, you know, we've kind of hinted at a lot of the pieces of work camp, is what is, if you could, might be a tough question, your most memorable experience at work camp? Because there's so many, you know, you go out to the works every day, Monday to Friday, you're on the work site all day, you come back, you're meeting people from all over the country, from Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, West Virginia, you know, you're doing Bible studies, you're singing, you have worship in the evening. There's all these different experiences. If you could think of one, maybe it's not the most memorable, but it's the one that's coming to you now that kind of sticks out in your mind, what would that most memorable experience of WorkCamp be?
I'm going to have to go with two, but the first year that I went, I was standing like up on top of the hill, and Lynn Carricker was there, Matt's mom, Eric's wife, and something just came over me, and I remember looking out in the hollers, and there was an electrical tower, and you could obviously see all of the trees, but it was at night, and then the moon was up above it, and I remember saying to Lynn as we were just standing there, that was just, you could see this full moon just shining, and it just said to me, I said, wow, this is like, it's almost like God is saying, hey, our love here, I'm always going to be here above anything you do. You can build whatever you want. I'm always just going to be up here, like, shining over you. And she just started to cry and gave me, like, the biggest hug. Because she probably knew when I was going down, I wasn't really going down for anything religious. And it just, like, that first year, it just hit me. But the most memorable job site I ever went to was probably 15 or so years ago, and we built a handicap ramp. It was probably about 60 feet long that went from the front of the, actually, it was more of a boardwalk, and it was a single mother, and she had two twin daughters, and her daughters were both blind. And she would have to, one by one, carry them out from the house to the car, because they obviously couldn't safely walk to the car. And in West Virginia, as you know, the winters get horrid out there, so if she had to leave, it would be a 20-minute process of trudging through the snow, carrying one daughter at a time out. So to see the joy and the tears in her face as her daughters walked down and learned how to just walk along this boardwalk and like kind of hold the railing that we put in for them so that she didn't have to carry her daughters all the way out to the car was probably the most rewarding.
I think that there, I'm going to also do two quick ones. The first one is a job site probably around 6 or 7 years ago, and we were working for a gentleman who was in hospice care, and he was dying. He had cancer, and he had a wife and a daughter that lived with him and his daughter's partner, and his daughter was a lesbian woman, and she, on the last day, she had been very kind of introverted and not really willing to engage with us, which is not uncommon, but in the last day, she came out to the front porch where we had put a roof and a new decking and stairs to come down, and she wanted to know, she said, how much y'all getting paid for this? And I said, we don't get paid. We fundraise all year so that we can come down and do this for you. And she said, well, why would y'all want to do that? And I just remember this big lump in my throat. And I just said, because we want you to know that God loves you. And I spit it out as fast as I could because I knew that if I went on, I was just going to bawl my eyes out. It's really life-changing. I mean, I just can't say that enough. And the other one is a little bit more anecdotal and personal in this. I had an opportunity to work with my son on the finishing up a deck staircase, and then we put on another staircase on this other trailer. And just being able to have this one-on-one time, you know, not as mom and son really, but as like collaborators on this problem-solving project, and to feel so proud of him and so grateful. That's all.
You stole mine. I think this has been echoed a lot by everyone here already, but I just remember my first year when we finished our project and we were leaving. Our homeowner had been, you know, it's not like it was a big reveal and she saw everything was fixed, but, you know, she had seen the project all week, but started to cry when we were leaving just, and I think that, you know, it hit me as a real shock because she doesn't have anyone coming around, you know? So that was really eye-opening to me, just as it relates to, you know, people, you know, they're lonely down there, and we do a lot more than fix a kitchen floor, you know, sometimes, you know?
There are a lot, but there's one that sticks out in particular. We were working on a home, just doing the normal rehab, warm, safe, and dry. And then it became clear that the room in the particular area of the house that we were working on
belonged to a son who was not there. And he was not there because he was in prison in Alabama and he was getting released from prison. And I remember thinking in the week, during the week, wow, this, you know, we're trying to help good people. We're trying to help, you know, people who deserve it. You know, I mean, all these sort of low-level thoughts. And when her son got out of the car, it was like the prodigal son. The rehabilitation, the love, the acceptance was just powerful, just powerful. Anyway, I'll leave you with that.
So I just want to ask one more question, given our time, and that is, you know, Andy hinted at it some during the offering, and some of you have hinted at it as well, that, you know, this balance of giving and receiving, that often we go down there, and that was true. I have the same story as Steve, that I went down to fulfill my community service hours, so I just went down thinking, oh, I'm going to be serving and giving, and you receive a lot more than you give. So share about, you know, some, any aha moments or kind of realizations you've had over the years about what is that balance of giving and receiving as you think about work camp? Like, you know, are we giving them more or are we receiving more? What is that for you, and how does that connect to your continuing to go to work camp?
So it's, for those of you that don't know, the way that we get assigned to job sites are is people have to apply. So it's got to take some little level of humility for a homeowner to say, I either don't have the means to do this, I don't have the physical talent, or I don't have friends, whatever it is, I there's something that is wrong with my house and I can't do anything about it. And I can't find someone that I could rely on to do it. So I need to go and submit an application and then have a couple people from the camp who are just strangers show up at their house and do like an assessment to figure out how bad their house is, to then figure out whether or not we could come and actually do that. So for someone like myself who has been so blessed by God for so many different reasons, that's like a foreign, that would be a foreign concept to me. So to think that these people are willing to go to that level to then also welcome us in to their house as such strangers showing up, the fact that we would go there and we don't come in with any prejudices and we're just there to do God's work, I think just helps restore them some as well, because I can only think of how they have to process that whole thought of actually allowing strangers from random parts of the country to just come into their house to do a project.
So balancing what we give to what we get, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, we've described to you how we all feel about it. It's a very emotional thing, and it's something that we've been multiple years we're committed to. I also think that I've never really tried to look at the scales, right, and say, here's what I'm giving, here's what I'm getting. I just really believe that, you know, if we keep, I don't do this for myself, although I absolutely benefit. I do it for my children. I do it for my brother. I do it for people in my life. I just hope that if I can lend a hand to somebody who's already doing the best that they can, that maybe somebody will help somebody that I love when they need it.
I've had a lot of work sites where the homeowner will continuously try to offer us lunch or offer to order us pizza or ask if we need anything from the market. And I'm not, I can't remember a specific instance, but I've, you know, it's not material, you know, and it's kind of hard to explain that we're already getting everything we need and more from this.
Reverend Bondurant, who created the camp, 40, 50 years ago, and still with us, gave a sermon one Friday night closing out the work camp, and he talked about we work campers were the hands and feet of Christ as we minister to those in the hollers. So it's hard for me to put a sort of a quantitative balance of about giving and getting, because I think of it as a very fluid concept. I think of it as, you know, when you give love, you get it right back. And so we are obviously giving a great deal, but I can tell you, we get it back. And I guess the best test of that is the fact how I have felt in the past few years when I haven't been able to go for age-related bodily problems, and it really hurts. It really hurts not to go. I need to go. I need that. It's part of my being.
So thank you, everybody. I just want to share one final thought as we wrap up. I've obviously, Steve and I and everybody here, been many years, have had a lot of years to reflect on work camp and reflect on why it's been powerful. I was on sabbatical in early 2022, and I finally finished writing my book that I was working on for 10 years, which is really exciting. The first chapter is about embodiment, so I just want to read one paragraph from that chapter. So now, more than 20 years after college, I understand why the West Virginia work camp touched my life so deeply. Work camp was an embodiment of all that I saw as good, true, and beautiful in Christianity. The people at work camp embodied a faith that was lived out, a faith that modeled in so many ways the essential teachings of Jesus. As a community, the West Virginia work camp embodied love to a degree that I had never experienced before. And so I just want to say thank you all for sharing, and thank you all for your support over the years. We always talk about the balance of giving and receiving, that part of the reason we can go is that this church and all the churches in Natick have supported us for so many years since we first started going in the early 90s. So thank you for giving, and we receive it generously, and we hope we can go again in 2023. Thank you. Amen.
Stacy, I heard you say that you fundraise to go down there. And I'm betting that if people gave checks to Bob Psyche for this project, they wouldn't be rejected, right? There he is. What joys or concerns or celebrations or prayers would people like to share before the congregation this morning? Sue? Celebrations of your mother's 101st birthday. Mother-in-law. And your patience for inviting her into your home. Others? Doug? Thanks be to God. Sophia Grace is doing well. I would ask you to hold on your hearts, of course, the people of Ukraine and the people of Russia and the other countries who are receiving people from those countries. I don't think we received any email prayers, a nod from up there. I didn't get any on my phone. So I would invite us into this time of prayer and ask that you respond following each of my phrases with, O God, we pray. O God, we pray. Let us pray together. For the ill and grieving, hungry and homeless, oppressed and abandoned, and all those who live in the face of war and violence, that they know God's healing love and care. for victims of gun violence everywhere, that greater wisdom and compassion can be brought to bear in this struggle for safety and sanity in our nation. For women whose constitutional right to autonomy over their own bodies was taken away, and especially for those with limited resources and women of color who will be most impacted, that they be supported and cared for in the wake of this travesty of justice. For the 50th anniversary of the United Church of Christ's ordination of Bill Johnson, the first openly gay man ordained to the ministry of Jesus Christ, that that courageous decision be only the first of many, many others that widen God's extravagant welcome in this community and beyond. Remembering that love works, we pray with thanksgiving for those who are going down to the West Virginia work camp to minister to the people there, keeping them warm, safe, and dry. And thanksgiving to the people of Cabell and Lincoln counties for their ministry to us, that we know each other's love even at a distance. With thanksgiving for those who are at Santa Maria Zeha, that they are safe and travel well, and for the people in the village of Santa Maria Zeha, we give thanks for their ministry to the delegation and that they know each other's love. For the dream catchers, the transition team, that they may be granted continued wisdom and discernment in their faithful work on behalf of our church. For those of all sexual orientations, gender identities, gender expressions, in whom we take great pride, for the prayers named and unnamed, from deep within our hearts that we offer for the world in need, trusting in your great love. And in the name of the one who taught us, we pray, our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Please join me in the closing responsive prayer. Christ has no body now but ours. No hands, no feet on earth. Ours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but ours. Let us go out now to be Christ and to see Christ in our world.